All right, we're going to go back on the record. This is still May 15, 2024. We are here on Administrative Appeals 24-039 and 24-040. The hearing examiner has admitted exhibits A through R in the record and have asked counsel for the appellant and counsel for the county whether any additional exhibits needed to be admitted at this time, and they both responded that they did not. The county has deferred making any kind of an introduction to this matter. Ms. Mel has, who represents Rose Jeff. Trucking Inc., has been sworn in as a witness. I think I've caught us up to where we are. And Ms. Mel, would you like to continue?
Thank you, Your Honor, staff. Again, I represent Jan Rowe and Rose Towing Service, and I'm here appealing the citation and sanctions order specific to the operation of his wrecking yard and trailer park slash mobile park at his property located on Gorge Road in Chelan. So the issues before the court from petitioner's position are first the timeliness of the appeal. I think that, that is a procedural issue. The hearing examiner indicated he would like addressed, and that was the purpose for Jan Rowe's supplemental declaration. And then secondarily is the substantive issues that correlate with whether or not the trailer park is a lawful pre-existing non-conforming use, and whether or not then there is junk that was actually junk that should have been removed from the property. So first, with regard to the procedural question on the timeliness of the appeal, the record has not been correctly reflected in the submissions by the county with respect to what was appealed. And admittedly, there were some technical issues around how the appeal was received, but the record submitted, and specifically, Your Honor, I don't know how you want me to refer for the record purposes to the documentation by page number, because it's on the document as A14. It's the staff's initial submission. Is that going to be sufficient, or do you need me to back out and call that exhibit A14?
Well, there is no page 14 on the exhibit A that I have.
And the staff submission, you've labeled what exhibit? The initial staff submission.
Oh, well, there's originally on the supplemental staff report, there was exhibits A through G.
No, I'm talking about the original staff report in this matter. I'm arguing from the original staff report on the procedural issue, which I thought was A.
All right. Well, I have the original staff report in front of me.
Okay. If you look at A14 of the original staff report, you should see that it's a notice in order to abate violations, date issued August 7th. So the county's position that there was only the August or the January 8th, 2024 citation, which is the penalty phase citation, was appealed as incorrect. The original service of documents did include the two separate, the citation, the original citation of 1-8-2024, which issues the penalty that correlates with the underlying notice in order to abate violations of August 7th, 2023, that has to do with whether or not there's a trailer park or junk on the property. And the issue that was presented on the submission of that was that the county requested two filing fees. And so I sent them a second check. I don't know what really happened to the first check, but I sent them a supplemental check to secure the appeal onto both of them, which they ultimately got within the 14 days of the January 8th, 2024 citation. So in terms of there not being two documents or actions by the county appealed, there were two actions. The second mailing duplicated the one, and there was no effort by the county to correct and recognize the second one that was originally submitted, which I think is just a technical problem, and procedurally the party should have been able to reconcile that, and the county has not done that, but they've also admitted telling the hearing examiner that there actually were two. Procedurally, then, that leaves the question of timeliness of the underlying notice in order to abate violations. So in the record, petitioner appellant has put in the record the August 7th, 2023 one. The county is relying on the August 21st one. In both instances, it must be conceded that there was not a 14-day notice of appeal, but the hearing examiner is asked to recognize extenuating circumstances and forgive the tardiness of the appeal based on Mr. Rowe's health condition at the time and his inability to seek timely appeal based on his hospitalization. And we have submitted Mr. Rowe's declaration to that effect. And I don't know what the hearing examiner's preference is. I believe the hearing examiner has accepted that as Exhibit P. To the extent the hearing examiner has questions that require further supplementation of that declaration, we would offer the testimony of Mr. Rowe. But it was not my intent to duplicate that testimony absent any questions, but I can do so. He can certainly attest to the fact that he was hospitalized. I can attest to the fact that he was hospitalized because that is where I was first contacted by him and asked to and informed that he needed legal assistance in addressing these land use issues with the county. And again, that then led to me trying to figure out what was going on, because there were issues that didn't make a lot of sense. And it wasn't until the actual sanction citation came out, the 1-8-2024 citation was served and issued, that I was able to understand a timely appeal question and did timely appeal that particular citation. I had communicated and reached out to community development and to the prosecutor's office much prior to January to obtain assistance in what actions were pending or what the procedural posture was of the county's actions relative to Mr. Rowe. I left voicemails that were not immediately returned. By December, we were communicating. However, I was surprised to learn that the county was unwilling to disclose or provide to me the actual file that would relate to actions taken against Mr. Rowe. And I was told that the county simply does not respond in any due process kind of way to an appellant's need or right for the record to appeal, but rather that procedurally must be handled through a public records request. And quite honestly, that is completely unheard of in my practice. I have never before been told by legal counsel representing an agency that administratively they refused to disclose information absent a public records request that pertains to actions where they intend to sanction my client. Usually there's an investigative file and that's automatically produced. That would have afforded me much earlier the procedural posture of the case and the documents at issue to proceed before January, before the sanctions were issued. Nonetheless, we are here today. And I think that based on that history, the significance of the underlying complaint about use of the property is erroneous in that the county has asserted that there's a, I mean, they started in an unusual way, claiming that it was a campground. It's not a campground, never has been a campground. And they made various allegations citing permits that weren't applicable. I think that for the most part, their initial submissions and the documents they submitted are, other than the procedural documents, are completely irrelevant because they don't even apply to my client, other than to say that there were CUP applications for the wrecking yards that ultimately in their supplemental briefing they provided, which are relevant in part to whether or not the trailer park was a lawful was lawful at the time it was cited and therefore qualifies as a non-conforming use that may not be sanctioned through the citation process that's been used here. And Mr. Rowe can testify and has testified via declaration, I believe is the exhibit, about the history of that trailer park. And the constitutional question we have here is what happens in a case where the county affirmatively states that a use was unlawful or is unlawful based on current code, and also simultaneously asserts that it may not be a grandfathered use because there was no CUP. That is a statement that the county cannot make because the county cannot produce records dated back to the late 70s when the trailer park was cited to affirmatively attest or cite Mr. Rowe, a subsequent landowner, for the CUP never having existed. So in this case, the court is going to be presented with how to address the assertion that there was no CUP when there's no one with any personal knowledge to attest to that, when it's clear that records dating that far back have not been produced, and Mr. Rowe and myself and my paralegal, who have spent hours and hours and hours using the required public records process to ascertain, one, how long they keep records, and two, where those records are and whether or not the search was sufficient, the answer being, we can't find anything. There are records kept in archives that are not indexed easily or easily searched. Not all those records and boxes and archives have been reviewed, but they have made the effort through the public records process to find what they can. It is clear that they have maintained that the retention schedule for CUPs, I was told, was 6 to 7 years. I've since looked at the local retention schedule and I can provide a screenshot to the court if the court wishes, but it appears that CUPs and permitting has a 6-year retention cycle. So if the county destroyed any of the late 70s requests for the appropriate permission to cite the trailer park where it's been presently cited, the county would no longer have those records and could not attest to there never having been one because they wouldn't know. This case presents a very strong case of circumstantial evidence that there was an appropriate permit process followed at the time by Mr. Evans. And Mr. Rowe has submitted in his attachments various documents that may be relied upon by the hearing examiner as circumstantial evidence of proper permitting and use at the time. And those documents include the conveyances of an easement to the public utility, the county-owned public utility, to power up the trailer park and actually install and take an easement right to access the various trailer park slots or slips where the trailers have been sited. We have very early photo evidence of the trailer park having been existed and occupied for years. We've also submitted, and Mr. Rowe can testify, that there's not only power for a trailer park and designed and implemented and structured and an easement given to the county for a trailer park, but there is water that the health district has approved as drinking water and functioning water that the county has known existed and has participated in acknowledging. We also have lengthy tax records dating back acknowledging the mobile home park's existence and collecting taxes for that use for years. Then we just have Mr. Rowe's testimony that he moved in believing it was a lawful use. He knew Mr. Evans and had exchanges with him that would indicate his use was consistent with and a lawful use at the time. And then just the duration, we're talking about over 40 years of occupancy with that very precise use without any kind of regulatory non-compliance challenge, which in effect raises a laches defense. I think the issue of the county not being able to attest to whether or not there was a CUP or variance or some other formalized permit process back in the late 70s is an estoppel argument. So I think on the issue of non-conforming use, it is a non-conforming use. It should be grandfathered. It is correct that the non-conforming use case law puts the burden of proof on the occupant or user to establish that the use was lawful, and his circumstantial evidence should be sufficient for the court to rely upon as evidence that the use was lawful. It has been continuous use. There's no question about that. Mr. Rose testified the photographs are there for the court's viewing that show the use has been consistent. And I think that pretty much summarizes non-conforming use. The burden shifts back to the county to suggest that the use expired or was abandoned for a 12-month period of time. That has not been the case since the late 70s. And another thing I think the court should be aware of, and Mr. Rowe can testify to, I think he already has in his declarations, is that I think the court can take judicial notice of this, the significant fire that hit Chelan there and decimated Mr. Rowe's property. All of his documents, any documents he would have or could have had, were completely destroyed in that fire. His building where he was residing and kept all his records were destroyed completely. And it is significant and also consistent with the permitted use that post-fire, the occupants were allowed to return and supported in return through the process that was used to help rebuild and funding that was made available to rebuild post-fire. I think that concludes my opening as to the substantive question of whether or not it's non-conforming grandfathered use. On the issue of junk, it's always fun to argue a junk case when you're dealing with a wrecking yard, which is a junkyard of sorts. And I think we've established and been able to get into the record the appropriate cups that permit that use. The question, I believe, then comes back to whether or not what was observed and complained about, the county has adequately specified so that it's not so vague and ambiguous that Mr. Rowe could not have possibly conformed with the regulatory requirements. The record will show, and Mr. Rowe can testify, that he certainly made a concerted effort to identify what precisely it was that was at issue and being characterized as junk. He would acknowledge that there was a temporary sighting of a trailer home that was not that was not occupied, that was owned by one of the occupants, that was going to be put into use that has not been. And in response to the concerns, he moved that back behind the fence line so that it appears to be within the appropriate use of the property and the cups that allow for his wrecking yard to have non-functional vehicles located behind the fence line. Other than that one item, there has been no junk there. Mr. Rowe has for years operated a rental business down at the water, down at the lake, and has used his property to store his business equipment for that rental. And I believe that what is depicted in many of the photographs that have been submitted by the county is his dock for that business use that he stores during the winter months on his property. So while the argument, I think, and contention and presentation has been that, or suggestion has been that there are abandoned tires on a property, they're not. That's the buoyancy system for the docks. They're just turned over on his property. He also has the rental equipment, the boats, the sea-doos, that kind of thing, stored on his property until he uses it at the lake. And that's completely consistent with the use of his property, which has historically been commercial. I don't actually know what the zoning was at the time of the 70s. It doesn't appear that there was any specific designated zoning. It was by area. The code at the time clearly talked about cups for trailer parks, so it wasn't something that couldn't have been cited there. It was just whether or not it was properly permitted. And as to the junk, that's all been permitted anyway. So the cups are all in the record, and the use of the property for more commercial type purposes has been approved. I do believe too that I did want to add, I believe on the procedural argument, Your Honor, I wanted to be sure and draw the court's attention to Mr. Rowe's responsiveness to having been served on the 21st with a notice of abatement. He did not ignore that. He did go to the county and discuss the matter and sought assistance and support and was told that somebody would get in touch with him. That immediately predated his medical condition. He does not believe anyone got back to him, but again, the medical condition intervened, so any follow-up was precluded. And he was certainly told that the county works with people. He did ask for clarification on what was the junk that was of concern. and was not given the clarification he needed to be more proactive in addressing the concerns, but probably couldn't have done anything about it until he was out of the hospital anyway. Having said that, Your Honor, I believe that Mr. Rowe has met his burden in challenging both the $45,000 citation or penalty and would ask that that be set aside and vacated, and the underlying issue about the trailer park, it should be a grandfathered use. The junk, most of it was not junk. It was a, it should not have gotten to the level that it got to, and he did mitigate in conformance with his obligations, the one trailer that needed to be moved behind the fence line. It's not argued much, and I guess I would reserve. I don't think that there's a continuing issue about the occupancy of the right-of-way, because the right-of-way was long ago abandoned and the documentation clearly establishes that. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but would reserve the right to come back to that if that is indeed a continuing concern. But the photographs show that, and the actual physical premises show that there's been a building on that location well over the adverse possession number of years, and he's paid taxes on the property. So it, long ago, it was adversely possessed in the right-of-way abandoned. I believe that concludes my opening, and I can call Mr. Rowe. Oh, actually, you know what? I would like to call Ms. Riles.
No, no, no. You're not going to be able to question staff, or staff is not going to be able to question Mr. Rowe.
And the basis for denying staff, calling staff as a witness, is what, Your Honor?
The hearing examiner's discretion.
Okay. But I can call Mr. Rowe?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless he's just going to repeat what he's already said in his declarations, that's not necessary. But if he has something new to add, I'd be happy to hear from him.
Well, I will call Mr. Rowe and have him. I'll call Mr. Rowe.
All right, Mr. Rowe, can you state your name and an address for the record?
Can you hear me? I just put it on speaking.
Yes.
Okay. My name is Jan Rowe. I live up in Chelan at this time at 620 East Iowa, Chelan.
All right. I'm going to have you raise your right hand and I'll take your word for it. Sir, do you swear or affirm under penalty of perjury that any testimony you give today will be the truth?
It will be, yes.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Mel?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rowe. Can you tell me whether or not you felt the trailer park was lawfully sited and a lawful use for the property?
I'd object to that. That's asking for legal conclusions.
No, I'll let him answer. I'll just give it the weight that I would give a layperson offering that type of testimony.
I'm not understanding the question there. You want this goes back to when it was put in?
Yeah. Did you always understand that it was a lawful use?
Yes, I do. It was in the declaration that, you know, that I did move in 1978 to trailer number 6. I moved my own trailer into space number 6 and rented from Norm Evans.
Did you believe Norm Evans was, did you have reason to believe that Norm Evans was somebody who complied with local regulatory requirements?
Yes, I do. I believe that he did. I think everything is just like, when I got the wrecking yard going, I had to go down and do this and do that to get that going. And I've all complied with it, and I believe that Norm complied when he put the trailer court in.
And what is your factual basis for saying that? You knew him personally?
Yes, I did. I came down to Norm Evans's business. He invited me to put my business in his little building down there on the lake to continue on, and so I was down there in the building for till his death in 1981, And but I everything I did was I asked him. I says I wanted to buy a tow truck. He says, if you buy it, I'll provide you a place. And that's how it all got going. And so, but the trailer court was out there at the time, so I didn't have to go far to go to work or you know afterwards go to run my business because it was the towing service impound yard was out here.
Can you explain your efforts? I'll strike that. Can you explain the Department of Health's involvement with your development of the drinking water there for the trailer park?
Well, I got notified, I guess, I don't know, I would have to say July of 1981, and we were negotiating on buying the property from the estate, and the health department called me and said they needed to take a test of the water. I says, fine. I says, I said, well, you might talk to the estate first because we haven't bought it yet. The papers haven't been signed, so I can't give you permission to do it, but you can get it from the estate. So the estate, nothing ever happened. Then after the date that we bought it, I don't know when it was, maybe a month afterwards, they called us and sure. So they went ahead and came up here and took a test of it. And they said, the only thing we have to do is let the people know that move in that it's got a little high level of potassium, which I guess makes you have diarrhea. Some people, you know, their system doesn't has to get used to it before it stopped. And that was it. And so far I was in compliance with everything and then I think there was a something said about
I'm going to
the
all of this.
go ahead.
Jason's
Just a
here.
second, Mr. Rowe. What's the objection?
Hearsay.
Yeah, I'm going to
Oh,
just a second, Mr. Rowe. I'm going to admit hearsay, but again, I will give it the weight that hearsay is afforded. So go ahead, Mr. Rowe.
well, you say they said this, then I do that. Is that part of it, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
You're gonna have
Okay.
to ask the lawyer that.
I did. They said that I should have more quantity, so they advised me to put in a surface holding tank. So I put a 1500 gallon holding tank underneath the ground, and that's where it is being pumped now. The water is. So the well pumps into the tank 1500 gallons, then from there it gets pumped out. And this was also brought up when I believe it was Marshall that was fire marshal at the time, and he told me to m make sure that there was an inlet to the tank so they could get a fire hose in there in case of a fire for the trailer court, and leave enough space between the trailer court and the fence so a fire truck can go back and forth. And I did.
And for the record, Your Honor, I would say that the hearsay objection is not well founded when it's a statement of a party opponent.
I don't think Department of Health is a party opponent here today.
It's the county, but so noted.
But go ahead, let's keep going.
Yeah, with regard to your efforts to obtain documentation about your interactions and testing of the water with the Department of Health. What happened when you sought those records?
I'm not understanding when I what were the records?
When you asked the department?
No, they always ask me.
No, okay, let me step back from this. Did you, after, for purposes of this case, try to obtain documents from the Department of Health?
Yes.
Specific to your interactions with them.
I understand your question now. Yes, I did. I went down there and nobody was there. There was a gal behind the counter. And I told her that I have questions on a piece of parcel up in Chelan that I need the records for. And they said that there was nobody there, but I could make out an open records request. She gave me a piece of paper, which I says, this open records? She said, yes. 2 weeks later, still nothing. And then I left a message. It's hard to get through to them. So I left a message. A gal called back 3, 4 days later. And they said they don't have anything on that parcel. And I wanted to go back to 1950 because in the 50s, end of the 50s, they put a will in. So I wanted all the records and nothing. And so they don't have any complaints. They don't have anything on file at the health department. They don't even have records of talking to me.
And what were your efforts to obtain records specific to a past cup or variance or some other permission to cite the trailer park?
I asked for the papers for the continuous use permit, because I saw those that all the agencies have to send in a piece of paper notifying them that there was going to be something put on the property. And I wanted all the information and I received nothing.
Have you since been denied documentation of the past permitted uses, done anything to apply for a cup?
On this current situation we have with the county?
Right. Did you most recently communicate yeah. with the county or make a submission to the county?
I did. I did a pre-hearing request with the county, and I explained my side of it on the narration, you know, description, narrative of the property. I gave them that plus a couple pictures and that, and I haven't received anything back from them on a meeting.
So it's a pre-application meeting request?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And did you submit that under a reservation of rights, not waiving any of your defenses here?
I did. I wrote that on all the forms. Okay. On the letter that I wrote, plus the application form.
Okay. Your Honor, I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you very much. Anything further, Ms. Mel, at this time?
Yes, I would draw the court's attention to, let's see, what exhibit would that be? In terms of the retention of documents, there's a provision in the earliest, it's the Declaration of Marcus Foster, Exhibit A, excerpts from Chelan County Resolution 153E, dated December 7th, 1964, Section Roman numeral 22, XXII, sub C, 7 sub B, places a duty on the county health department to maintain records of any application for a trailer park use. And I believe that would have obligated the county to maintain those records. And the fact that they don't have them available and cannot attest to whether or not they ever existed and or when they were destroyed is relevant to their assertion that he could have been properly cited from the inception for a non-conforming use. With that, I have no further evidence, Your Honor.
All right, thank you very much. Is the county ready to proceed?
Yes, we are.
All right, your name for the record?
Marcus Foster on behalf of the county.
Will you be providing testimony today?
No, just argument.
All right, please proceed.
All right. this argument's kind of jumped all over the place, so I'm trying to wrap my hands around it in a way that's intelligible and gets the real issues out there. The only question before the hearing examiner is whether these violations were committed. I think that the ample evidence is that they were committed, but there's a couple of points I'd like to address. I don't think there's any question that any of the citation or the notice and order was ever improperly served. Ms. Mel stated that Mr. Rowe was always very diligent and careful about his service. We have a return of service in which it appears to be a handwritten from Mr. Rowe. It says deceased RTS, which I assume is Rowe Towing Service 111, which I think is the date of this year that we got back on January 25th. So I think that was, and then there's a postmark stamp from the postal service saying return to sender deceased. So I think Mr. Rowe was trying to play with the county a little bit and sending that back saying that he was deceased and writing that on there. The record shows that Deputy Akel personally served the first notice and order. The notice and order was never properly appealed whatsoever, and I'm not quite sure what the argument was on that other than to say that Mr. Rowe had some health issues, but the declaration that he submitted on that point only shows that he was hospitalized after the appeal period had already lapsed for the notice and order. So that was clearly never properly appealed. He was hospitalized on September 6th, and I think the appeal period lapsed a couple of days before that. So by operation of law, the notice and order is committed. There was junk on the property that it was an unpermitted campground or RV park. The terms are somewhat interchangeable, but it's an RV park under the current code. And then the county acknowledges that the citation was properly appealed on time. Now, the primary arguments seem to be about grandfathering or nonconforming uses, and I prefer the term nonconforming uses because it's more clear and it's defined in the code. And so what I'm not clear about now is for the first time I'm hearing implications that it was properly permitted, but it also that it's a nonconforming use and therefore doesn't need permitting, which is two completely contradictory arguments. In order to be nonconforming, they would have to prove that prior to, I think it was December 7th, 1964, there was an operational campground at that location. They haven't provided any evidence of that. And the only evidence in the record is that Mr. Rowe himself is stating it started, the campground started around 1976 or 77. So now I think they're shifting the argument and trying to say, well, the county somehow is bound to provide records which would prove that it was properly permitted at that time. I suppose based on the hearsay that Norm Evans, who's been dead for 40 years, was in the practice of properly permitting things, I don't really understand what that argument is. But nevertheless, there is no evidence whatsoever that any of that, that the campground was ever permitted or that it was nonconforming and established before 1964. So in terms of what the county has done, there have been a bunch of implications that the county and arguments that the county is withholding records somehow. We absolutely are not. We've provided every record we have. We've diligently searched the archives going back as far as the county has records and provided everything that we've found. And as the hearing examiner stated in the last hearing, there was the PRA issues are not before the hearing examiner, nor does the county have any duty to provide records immediately upon demand in a non-judicial setting. This is not a discovery setting in given continuances in order to facilitate figuring out those records. There's no, and I heard no testimony from Mr. Rowe whatsoever that he's ever seen a CUP by him or Norm Evans, which allowed that campground or RV park. So I don't think there's any reason to believe that such a CUP ever existed, and we've certainly found none. As to the junkyard or the wrecking yard, there was permitted, I want to say it was in 1988 or so, it may have been prior to that, strike that, but there was permitted a wrecking yard which allowed for cars and car parts, specifically said, and this is in the record, no housing uses are allowed. So it was acknowledged in that CUP. And all the junk related to the wrecking yard, which I believe was only allowed to be cars and car parts, was to be behind a barbed wire fence. I think primarily most of those things were, but there was certainly junk outside the fence that came to Deputy Anderson's attention, and that's what he cited this for. Deputy Anderson, as the record shows, also visited more recently, and it appears that some things may have been cleaned up, but nevertheless, that doesn't change the fact that at the time these were issued, there was significant junk. There were couches, there was furniture, there's a wrecked trailer, there's various other things. Now, whether that is still there today, it is, not shown in the pictures, but I think the video that was submitted has a relatively recent reflection of what was on the property. Some of the arguments that came up here, latches and estoppel, these equitable arguments aren't before the hearing examiner. There's been a lot of implications, again, that the county is somehow hiding records or something. There's no record of that. There's nothing in the record to suggest that whatsoever, nor is that question before the hearing examiner. The only question is whether the violations were committed. When it comes to the testimony about the health department approving water uses, I think the existence, if there is a permit, and I don't know that that's even in the record for water uses, proves that the use was ever lawful. The question that the health district is trying to answer is simply whether there's enough water supply and whether that's going to be a safe water supply. So that doesn't prove anything that the county ever permitted the use of the RV park. And let's see, finally, the only other point I'd like to make, when it comes to the right-of-way issue, I don't believe that was ever cited. It may have been mentioned in one of the citation or the notice and order as a passing mention, but I don't think it was ever cited, so that's not before the hearing examiner. But that's not to say that the county can't cite it. I just don't believe that it's ever been measured to make sure whether or not it's in the right-of-way, whether that right-of-way has been abandoned, anything like that. So that question's not before the hearing examiner. And then unless you have any questions, that's all the county has.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Foster. Ms. Mel, anything further?
Yes, Your Honor. It's important that the court look back at the submissions by the county as to the cups for the wrecking yard. I'm trying to find the exact page number, but the representation by the county that the cups were issued indicating that residential use was inconsistent with the wrecking yard is wholly erroneous. The cups actually reference the use being consistent with residential occupancy in the wrecking yard, not being a use inconsistent with the occupancy there of the residents. So the cups are not suggestive of the trailer park or residential occupancy being inconsistent with lawful use. With regard to the argument as to the county's approval of the water systems or the water itself, in any cup process, a component of, and actually the cup process in effect at the time for trailer parks included a Department of Health component specifically as it pertains to water. So the fact that the county through the health department is weighing in on the adequacy or sufficiency of the water is indeed circumstantial evidence, if not direct evidence, that the use is conforming. I think the county is misperceiving or confused about the legal question of non-conforming use as it relates to whether or not a permit was in existence and the duty of the county to refrain from citing an occupant for violating any code by attesting to facts that it has no personal knowledge or cannot attest to. So the issue of nonconforming in the context of this case is that the 1964 code authorized trailer parks subject to an approval process. And so the it is consistent with nonconformance to have been a permitted or non-permitted use. And the question here is whether or not the county can affirmatively allege that there was no permitted use. And the argument by Mr. Rowe is that it cannot. It does not have the personal knowledge of what occurred back in the 70s, and per its own destruction schedule, it would not have maintained those records. And for it to affirmatively state there was no permit to make the use conforming or lawful at the time that it was established is wholly erroneous and violates all standards of evidence. You can't just say something is so when you don't have the knowledge to attest to that. I mean, it's any evidence in support of county action has to be based on personal knowledge, and the county cannot support its citations or any of the actions it took by attesting that there was not a proper permitted process utilized to cite the trailer park. With regard to the assertion that Mr. Rowe was playing games on service, it is not true. Edward is his father, not him, and Edward is deceased. Overall, the citations cannot be upheld because the basis for issuing the citations was not well founded at the inception, and the use was consistent with what it has been used for years. And there was a timely appeal of the citation, which is not an issue in terms of the penalty. So I think for the reasons stated as to the legitimacy of the underlying use, a $45,000 penalty must be set aside. Besides, it's absurdly extreme for the circumstances that exist here, where Mr. Rowe has been in operation there for years, sought assistance in identifying exactly what the county wanted treated as junk, and was given little to no assistance and addressed what he could that was inconsistent with what his lawful use is, which would have been the one trailer that he moved behind the wrecking yard fence. The remaining trailer park issues, the fact that he has docks there, the fact that he has his boating business equipment there, that's all lawful use. And it's not junk either. It's utilized business equipment. So, Your Honor, I would thank you for your time today and ask that you rule in support of Mr. Rowe and his company.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Mel. Hearing examiner has taken evidence, has taken testimony, has admitted evidence into the record. At this time, I am going to close the public record portion of this hearing. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days. I've reviewed everything several times. I'll review everything again. And I will have a written decision made that will be sent to you, Ms. Mel. There are no other items that are on today's agenda. So I'm now going to adjourn this May 15, 2024 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. Thank you all very much for coming. This meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.